Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Zion, Chapter 7. Yeshayahu's past prophecies, in Perekim Aleph through Vav, 1 through 6, were delivered during the time period of King Uzziahu. Perek Zion fast forwards us to the time period of Ahaz, the grandson of Uzziahu, in around the year 734 BCE. What you can see almost immediately is that so many of the circumstances are different. Firstly, while Uzziahu enjoyed a period of relative calm during his reign, allowing him to build up and expand Jerusalem and the southern territory, Ahaz enters a totally different geopolitical landscape. Assyria has emerged as the new superpower under the powerful and cruel leadership of Tiglath-Pileser, taking over the northern section of the Fertile Crescent, and with aspirations of conquest throughout the ancient Near East. Israel stands at a particularly strategic place because while tiny, they're at the crossroads to Egypt. Because of this fear of Assyria, other changes have taken place as well. The northern kingdom of Israel has allied with Aram. Now, the logic of that alliance is that if all the small countries band together, then they can stand a chance against the mighty Assyria. In order to force the southern kingdom in Jerusalem to join with them, these two countries, the northern section of Israel and Aram, have attacked Jerusalem. And although they have not yet been successful, their threat is imminent and Ahaz is under pressure from all sides. On the one hand, he could ally himself with Israel and Aram against Assyria, although there's a context of bad blood and even a war between them. Alternatively, he could choose to ally Judah with Assyria, the emerging superpower. But if they do this, they will certainly become only a vassal state to Assyria. Part of this agreement would be a huge financial commitment to Assyria, as well as subservience to whatever their demands are. It also means allying themselves with the emerging monster that Assyria has become, viciously plowing down all those who stand in her way in an effort to achieve world domination. In some ways, the choice calls to mind Winston Churchill's agonizing deliberation in 1940, whether to negotiate with Hitler or to fight, despite the terrible odds that stood against them. It's against this backdrop that Yeshayahu comes to speak to Ahaz. Ahaz is terrified about what will happen. The relationship between Yeshayahu and Ahaz has already been strained. Since the death of Uzziahu, Ahaz has brought in the pagan culture around him, even offering his son as a sacrifice to appease the pagan gods. Ahaz's terror is described at the beginning of Perek Zion of Yeshayahu as Vayina levavo ulevav amo kinoa atse ya'ar mipnei ruach. His heart was trembling like the way that a tree in the forest will tremble from the wind. I think this image is particularly apt because it gives over that the intense trembling and also the blowing back and forth, the vacillating, not knowing what to choose. And now Yeshayahu comes to Ahaz with a strange message. Neither to ally with Assyria nor to ally with Aram and Israel. Instead, he tells him, Hishamer, v'hishaket, al tira ulevavcha al yirach, right? Be watchful, be quiet, don't be afraid, don't let your heart grow soft, right? Just stand by, watch. Make an active choice, so to speak, to at this point do nothing. Yeshayahu goes on to explain some political background to why it makes sense for Ahaz to make that choice. He says that while Ahaz is petrified that he'll be decimated by Aram and Yisrael, in fact, in the long view, neither of these countries will be a threat to you because they won't be long-lasting. A fact that proves to be true at the hand of Assyria, both the northern kingdom of Israel as well as Aram are destroyed. He continues to explain that there's another reason for Ahaz not to ally himself with Aram and Israel. They don't have your best interests at heart. If Ahaz goes into that relationship, it would not be as a vassal. It would be, presumably, as equals. But Yeshayahu shares with Ahaz, that's not their plan at all. In fact, their plan is to replace you and put another king by the name of Ben-Tibal there in your place. So in order to kind of reassure him on the path of not aligning himself with Aram Yisrael, Yeshayahu gives him some political background. Yeshayahu then closes his speech to Ahaz with these powerful words. He says, "Im lo ta'aminu, ki lo ta'aminu." If you don't have faith, then in turn, you won't be stable. This is an incredibly difficult mandate, as Yeshayahu, the Navi, is asking Ahaz, the king, the political leader, not to depend on either Aram and Israel or Assyria, and instead demonstrate his faith in God by restraining himself from taking proactive steps. Perhaps because this demand is so difficult, Yeshayahu turns to Ahaz and gives him an opportunity to ask for a sign to validate this nevuah. Ahaz responds with the words, "Lo eshal v'lo enaseh Hashem." I won't ask and I won't test God. Basing himself on this idea that it's actually wrong to test God, to say to God, "Hey, show me a sign so that I know I'll believe." But this angers Yeshayahu because he sees this as an expression of Ahaz's false religiosity. And Yeshayahu, who has always been against religious hypocrisy, berates Ahaz for this statement. And then he offers him a sign of his own. Now, what's interesting about this sign is that it's not magical and it's not supernatural. Instead, Yeshayahu tells Ahaz that a young woman will have a child. There's a debate in the Parshanim who this young woman is. Likely this is Yeshayahu's wife, although some say it is Ahaz's wife. She will name that child Immanuel. Hashem is with us. God is with us. And before the child can distinguish between bad and good, both of the nations that threaten you, here it's speaking about Aram and Yisrael, right, and the northern kingdom of Israel, will be cut off. Now, this is not a miraculous message, the way we often think of signs, such as Moshe throwing down his stick and the stick turning into a snake, among many other signs in the Tanakh. But instead, this is a message of hope. When times are desperate, people often question, should I have a child? How can I bring a child into this type of a world? But here, what Yeshayahu prophesies is about the birth of a baby, bringing a new life into this difficult circumstances, a new life that will be named Immanuel, Hashem is with us. And before that baby even develops a moral compass, right, which is all of our mandate in the world, this threat that Ahaz is struggling with will be annihilated. The hope that's emphasized by this sign, by the birth of the baby, the baby's name, reinforces Yeshayahu's message that faith in Hashem will get Ahaz through this difficult crisis. What Ahaz actually does with that message, we'll discuss more tomorrow. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Zvi Yosef.